Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Isn't that amazing? God loves each one of us and He knows everything about us. He's designed us. And He's orchestrated everything that's happened so far, and He will continue to keep us in His care. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank You that You love each one of us, and You know exactly who we are. You know exactly everything about us. And I want to raise to You those that are going through difficult times at this time, going through health challenges, going through emotional challenges, going through things that are providing discomfort or things that are worrying, and I just lift them to You today. And we think of Trevor in hospital, and we pray that Your healing hand would be upon him. We think of Doris, and we pray that Your comfort and Your love would be surrounding her and her family. And for all those that we know in our communities, in our families, and people we encounter that are going through difficult times, we raise them to You today. And we pray that they would know that God loves them. And I pray today that each one of us would know that God loves us, that we would be able to share that love with other people in our community. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've had an interesting week of devotions. And for those that might not know the word devotion, it's a little bit of a reading that I do each day. That is about God and His Word and how it applies to my life. So it usually only takes 5-10 minutes to do each day, but this week He's been taking me on a journey of grace and forgiveness. And one of the scriptures that I read on Tuesday, I've read many times, it's from the book of Matthew. So for those that like a bit of extra time to find scriptures, we're going to read from Matthew 5 in a moment. But it's one that I have read quite a few times and kind of read, and I thought I understood it. But my devotion this week brought out something different in this scripture. Brought something in a new light. And we're going to read from verses 43 to 48. So Matthew chapter 5. So if you've got your New Testament, it's the very first book of the New Testament. So not at the beginning of your Bible, because that's the Old Testament, but the beginning of your New Testament. So Matthew 5, verses 43 to 48. And I'm going to first read it in the NIV version. So if you've got a slightly different version, hopefully you'll be able to work out the wordings might be slightly different. So starting at 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. May God give us understanding of His Word today. Who's heard that passage before? A few people? Yep. So it might be familiar to some of you. And the phrase in that says, love your neighbour, that's a very common phrase in Scripture. This isn't the only place that it has, love your neighbour. We think of the parable of the Good Samaritan, and that talks all about loving your neighbour, and the teachers of the law and the Pharisees were quizzing Jesus about who is my neighbor. And Jesus described it through a story about a man who had been beaten and robbed and left on the side of the road. And various people walked past, but only one man stopped, and he was a Samaritan person from the area of Samaria. And so he gives of his time and his money and his energy to look after this man that's been beaten up. And we see that this is the example of a neighbour. This is someone who we need to love. We need to love other people. So the term neighbour, we in our lives, we think about the person who lives next door or the person who may live in our street. We think of that as a neighbour, don't you? Or maybe even someone that you might sit next to, that's your kind of your neighbour. We don't tend to use that term very often. We only use that in terms of living situations. But we don't tend to relate it as widely as what Jesus is in the Good Samaritan story. So I want to read the same passage that we've just read in the Message version, because the Message version brings out some different wording and some different meaning and helps us to understand this passage a little bit more in language that we might use today. So it says in the Message version, the same verses 43 to 48, says, "You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer, for then you are working out your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and bad, the nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody could do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others, the way God lives toward you." Nice, isn't it? Bit of a challenge when it says grow up. You read that and go, oh my goodness, the Word of God is telling me to grow up. But I like that very first part where it's changing the word neighbour to love your friend. Makes this easier for us to understand today, that it's a bit more than just somebody who might live next door to us or somebody who's close in proximity. And it brings out this underlying meaning that it's easy to love people that we're friends with. Is it not? Yeah. Who do you find easier to love? People that you know or people that you don't know? People who are your friends or people who are not your friends. It's easier to love people we know and we've built a relationship with, and they are what we would call friends. Now, when they mention the word enemy, I don't know that I have enemies. I don't really think of that word in terms of people that I know. When I hear enemies, I think of when, you know, two countries are at war. You know, there's a, you know, the goodies and the baddies, or there's, you know, one's an enemy against the other. I think of that in terms of enemies, you know, soldiers or people that are warring against each other. But I also think of movies, like superheroes and villains. You know, you think of an enemy there, you know, the arch nemesis. We think of Batman. Who would be Batman's enemy? Joker, Riddler, Mr. Freeze, they're his enemies. What about Superman, Lex Luthor, or Kryptonite, but that's not a person, but yeah. Kryptonite is his undoing, isn't it? Anybody watch the Matrix movies? There's Neo. Who would Neo's enemy or arch nemesis be? Agent Smith, yep. What about Spider-Man? Who's enemy of Spider-Man? Green Goblin? Yep. Dr. Octopus? Yep. What about Cinderella? Think of your fairy tales. Who would Cinderella's enemy be? Close. Wicked stepmother. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's Snow White. Good one. That was my next one. Snow White. It would be the Wicked Witch or the Evil Queen. What about Ariel from The Little Mermaid? Can you remember? Oh, I'm testing all the people who have had little kids in the last little while. Little Mermaid. Ursula, the sea witch. Yeah. What about Alice in Wonderland? Off with her head. Queen of Hearts. And this is not people, but the 101 Dalmatians. Cruella de Vil, yes. Good plug out there for the modern day version of the movie Cruella. It actually takes it back through her life and how she becomes Cruella. Really good movie, actually. So, but anyway, we divert. So the enemy of these characters or these movies, in these movies, they want to take those characters out. You know, they want to wipe them out. They want to get rid of them. They don't like them. I don't think I have anyone trying to do that in my life. Well, I hope not. I'm not aware of it anyway. But do you have people that you think are trying to take you out? Not in that sort of sense. Well, yeah, he's our greatest enemy, isn't he? Satan is out there trying to wipe us out. But I don't tend to think of it in terms of people that are trying to take me out. So in my devotion this week, when I read through this passage, it brought something interesting out about the word enemy. And so I read from the Lectio 365 app on my phone, and this word enemy is differently translated in English. And so the narrator, because I actually can press a button and it reads my devotions to me, which is really lovely, especially when I'm feeling weary and I just want to close my eyes and listen. So the narrator explains it like this. They also said, "I don't feel as if I have any real enemies." However, the English word for enemy actually comes from the Latin inimicus. I'm hoping I pronounce that right. I've never learnt Latin. Which means those who are hostile, or more accurately, unfriendly. Interesting. The word enemy is also translated as somebody who might be hostile or unfriendly. This helps me understand the relevance of this passage for me much more when I think of it in that terms. Because I don't necessarily think I encounter people that are my enemy, but I certainly encounter people that might be hostile or unfriendly. And I'm sure you can agree that you've encountered people in those veins. There are some people that tend to get under your skin more than others. You know, there's certain traits about people or certain things that people do or say that gets under your skin more than other people. What people do you find hardest to love? Who are the unfriendly people that God is asking you to love your enemy? Maybe it's people that are rude. Maybe it's people that are selfish. People that swear, people that ignore you, or people that talk too much. Maybe people that have different opinions, or people that have different lifestyles to you. What is it that gets under your skin and comes across to you as being unfriendly or hostile? Who are the people that you find really difficult to love? So my devotion this week got more challenging. So that was only the first part. Got more challenging when it said, "Jesus exposes the darkness in my heart when he tells me to love those who are unfriendly towards me. And he asks a question too. How can I say I love God when I am hateful or when I'm hostile or deliberately being unfriendly towards others? Wow, that hit me like a smack in the head. The thought that I could be an enemy to somebody else, that I might be hostile and unfriendly and others would be perceiving me as their enemy. That's confronting. Perhaps I'm the one that people find really hard to love, especially if I'm being unfriendly or hostile. And the devotion continues in its challenge, asking, who am I being unfriendly towards? Who do I ignore or give the cold shoulder? It's easy to be unfriendly and hostile towards people who I don't personally know. For example, celebrities, politicians, people I disagree with on social media, and even bad drivers. I hear some laughter because I think there's some resonance here. Yes, Val knows that I've... Rah, why can't they stay in their lane? What are they doing? It's easy to do that, isn't it? Because you don't know them. They might not ever hear you either. Probably a good thing. But it's easy to get hostile and unfriendly to people that we don't know, isn't it? We kind of bite our tongue and hold our tongue around people when we're in physical contact or we're, you know, we know them. But Jesus has a high standard for us. You know, being a Christian, he says to count the cost because it's a high standard we have to live to. We are his believers, then we want to follow him. He wants us to love those who are unfriendly as much as we love our close friends. I don't know about you, but I find this really difficult to do on my own. It's not something that we're necessarily born with the ability. You know, we don't just get a magic wand and, great, you can love everybody now. But verse 44 in this passage tells us how we can do this. And it's not about doing it all on our own. Jesus has given us the challenge and said, love your enemies as much as you love your friends. But he's given us, in verse 44, the key to how to do this. And I want to read from the Message version, verse 44, where it says, when someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer. For then you are working out your true selves, your God-created selves. Respond with the supple move of prayer. Prayer is our key to doing this very difficult task. Asking God to help us. Helping us to love people that we find irritating or people that come across as hostile. The Lord's Prayer has the lines in it, which we didn't sing in that version, interestingly enough. It deleted that part out. So it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Love and forgiveness are synonymous here. When we ask God to forgive those who have done wrong or been unfriendly towards us, then God replaces the hate, the animosity, the irritation with his love. When we ask God to help us, replaces it with love. And this passage reveals God's heart towards us and to everyone. God's heart is for loving everybody. His grace is enough, not just for us, it's enough for everybody. And in this passage, it says, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And the Message version says, this is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and bad, the nice and nasty. This may seem unfair. Why is God giving love and good things to the bad people? But God gives to all people his best, regardless of who we are and what we have done. And I'm so grateful because I realize that's me. I haven't always been good. I haven't always been nice. I've been the bad. I've been the nasty. I've been the unfriendly. I've been the hostile. And it reminds me of the kids' song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And in one of the verses, it sums this up when it says, Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, even though it makes him sad. Jesus still loves all of the people on this earth, despite whether we're friendly or unfriendly to him, let alone to each other. Sometimes we're hostile and unfriendly towards God. We don't want to know. We don't want to talk to him. We're angry at him. He still loves us. Even if we ignore him, he still loves us. But the great challenge he has is he's calling us to do the same as his followers, to love others just as he loves us. Because God has certainly loved us when we didn't deserve his love, and he wants us to love others, even when they don't seem like they're deserving. We're going to sing a song called Mighty to Save. And the opening lyrics of this song says, everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a savior, the hope of nations. God has done this for us and for all people. He's loved us. He's given us compassion. We all are in need of forgiveness. It's for each one of us. So I pray that this song would be a prayer of thanks, that you would use this time to thank God that he has showered you with compassion and with love and with mercy. But that you would take this time to ask God to help you show that same compassion and grace and love towards others. Those that may be hostile or unfriendly, sometimes they're a symptom of the fact that they actually need love. People are hurting, and hurt people, if that makes sense. That's what it comes across as. They hurt others because they are inside hurting. They need to know that everyone can have forgiveness. They need to have the compassion of a savior. So may this be a time and a reminder of who you may need to extend God's love to this week. Who needs to hear this message that God is mighty to save them?